How many of you guys had that game growing up? Rock'em Sock'em Robots? Listen, I did not have this game. We did not have this game. But when I was looking for a graphic for this, I thought that image popped into my mind. And I was like, that is such a perfect graphic, I think, for this series of offense. And so today I am excited to be home. The girls and I were traveling for 2 weeks. We were gone, or 2 weeks, two Sundays. But we were gone, and we celebrated a wedding in Texas. And if you want to throw up, I just wanted to show you guys a little bit about my family. So I have a picture up there. This is my cousins and I. These are my first cousins. And you can see there's some familiar faces in there. But yeah, we love to celebrate. And every couple of years we get together. There's a huge, like there's 23 of us, 24 of us now. So we get together and we celebrate. And some of you saw, it is a huge Italian family. So some of you saw, if you want to flip to the next screen, this picture on Instagram, I posted, we spent the better part of 2 days making cookies for this wedding. And this is the end result. So we give these away right here. This is kind of like a family tradition. And so anyway, so we spent the better part of 2 days cooking. Maria knows what I'm talking about. Cooking for 2 days, you do what you do. But anyway, so this is what we were doing when we were gone, and celebrating family and a wedding. And so thank you guys for letting us, you know, get away and have that time, and we really appreciate that. But as I was preparing for this message and thinking about it, we really talked about the different opportunities for us to be offended and what that looked like. And so Maria kicked off the first week when she talked about having others be upset at us, or us being upset at others, offended at others. And so she really talked about some of the unhealthy disciplines that we practice in our life based on that. And then she also gave us some very practical tools. I appreciate the most about Maria is the fact that she can real talk. That's what I love. I love that about her. She doesn't sugarcoat it. She doesn't mince her words. She does a good job of speaking directly to the heart of the issue, and I appreciate that about her. And so if you didn't listen to her message, go back. She was the first week of the series. But last week, Pastor Richie talked about what happens when you're mad at God, and what does that look like? And I think ultimately the bottom line was this, that we have to believe that God is for us. We have to. And that's the bottom line. When we're mad at God and we're upset and we're frustrated because maybe he didn't act the way we think he should act, or do what we think he should do, or maybe he didn't heal someone like we thought he should heal someone, but still ultimately we know deep down that he's for us, that changes our perspective on life. It changes how we view what we walk through. And so today I have the great pleasure of presenting for you today this topic of offense, mad at myself, and what that looks like, mad at myself. And really, can we be offended at ourselves? Can I have an offense against myself? And so I want to just quickly define, I think, yes, my first slide, I guess, is the definition for this. And an offense is this, something that outrages the moral or physical senses, a breach of moral or social code. Offense. Can I be offended based on this definition? Can I be offended at myself? Can I breach my own moral code? Can I walk in a place where I've actually stepped outside of what I want for myself? I believe I can. And today I want to present to you a couple of things, and what does that look like for us personally? So I came up with these three scenarios, and, you know, they're kind of a gradual progression, but the first is this, that maybe I made a mistake at work, and my boss had to correct me, and I feel this, like, gnawing, like, aching, like, man, why did I do that inside? But it doesn't go away, right? Sometimes we walk through this. And that's one instance. The other instance is this, that I was a little bit short on my timesheet this week, and so I added extra hours that I didn't work. And as I'm driving home from work, I feel so guilty. I feel so angry at myself because I'm like, why did I do that? Why would I consciously do that? I know better. I'm a Christian. I shouldn't have done that. And so we mull this over in our mind. We just keep thinking about it and dwelling on it. Even though we ask for forgiveness, it's still there. It feels still like this pit of ugh inside of us, right? So that's one instance. And the other one maybe is a little bit more of an intense a subject. And maybe we were at a work event. And, you know, everybody's drinking, right? And so we know better, and we've had an issue with alcohol in the past, but we do. And that's not just one, maybe it's five. And now I'm really mad at myself the next day. I wake up and I'm like, you know better. Why would you do that? These are instances where the enemy can have this tool that he uses. And as Christians, we believe we have a moral code. As non-believers, we believe we have a moral code, right? Nobody told you when you were a child, don't murder. Just when you get in a fight, don't murder. We know this inherently, right? We know what we should and shouldn't do. Yes, there's guidance and there's things along the way, but there's this social code that we live by. And as believers, we believe this is the Holy Spirit living inside of us, and that he leads us and he directs us. He gives us peace. He tells us how to walk and where to go and what decisions to make, right? And so as believers, I want to talk about this for a little bit. But what happens when that condemnation, and that's what we call it, it's condemnation. If you've already asked forgiveness for something and it just keeps like gnarling inside of you, we don't believe that to be conviction from the Lord. We believe that to be condemnation. And that's a tool of the enemy that he uses. And so what happens when we really navigate to this place of like self-loathing, but we're just angry at ourselves? And I'm going to put this mic down for a minute, because I want to pick up this box here. And this box is really representative. It's super heavy. It's really representative of me and my issues and my stuff inside here. And I have things in here that I'm not proud of. I have huge issues inside this box. Sometimes we lie. That's in my box. garbage that I carried. And I can lay it all down, and I never, never have to pick that up again. I never. I can turn my back, and I can walk headlong into what he's called me to walk into, and I can put that away. That is not who you are. Those sins of your past are not who you are. And the enemy would use every single thing in here as a tool. He will use it, and he will try to take those things, and he will say, remember what happened here. And he turns that key. And we operate our emotional health based on the way that the enemy uses that junk from our past that we refuse to submit to the Lord. And sometimes, I will tell you this, there have been times in my past where I have said, I deserve this. I brought this on myself, and I deserve it. And I can't take this to the Lord. So you have this internal battle, this internal dialogue where you say, I'm not going to give the Lord what's unholy, but he's standing there. His son died on a cross so that we would never, never have to walk in defeat, ever. And so for you in here today, I want you to think about, when we finish, we're going to go through a couple of more little slides, and I want you to think about, while I'm talking, what are those things that the enemy would use in your life, those tools, where he would try and turn that area of your life emotionally on, where you're saying, no, I gave that to the Lord. I gave that to the Lord. So how do we stop the condemnation? Slide number one, or my next slide here, says this. We need to repent, okay? For some of us, we gotta give it to the Lord. We gotta hand it to him, and we gotta say, I can't carry it anymore. I'm going to give it to you, and I'm not looking at it ever again. I'm not going to think about it again. I'm not going to deal with that again. It's over. It's under the blood. And we repent of those things, and we let that go. Romans 2 and 4 says this, it's God's kindness that leads us to repentance. We've all had those teachers in here. Not in here, but you know what I mean? We've all had teachers in the past that were harsh and angry. And when we didn't get it, they were frustrated and mad at us. And they were, you know, we didn't want to raise our hand and ask for you know, a question to be answered because we were so scared that we would feel worse about ourselves. Jenny's nodding her head. She probably knows teachers like that. She's not one of them. But yeah, so we've all had teachers like that, right? But what does the Bible say? It's God's kindness that leads us. So if you're feeling angered, if you're feeling that self-loathing on the inside, that's not God. So we can recognize that as a tool from the enemy right away, that he's called us to walk after him. And after him is kindness, and his kindness is what leads us to repentance. So that means if you're feeling like the Lord is leading you to repent of those things, and then let that go. The next thing is this. We got to make it right. We got to make it right. And there are two areas that I could think of off the bat in my own life that I've had to walk through after I repented of something, that I had to make it right. And the first way was this, that I had to ask for forgiveness. As a parent, we do this or should do this a lot. A lot. Because we blow it and we mess up a lot, right? As a human, we mess up a lot, right? And so there are going to be times when you are going to make a mistake, whether it's egregious or whether it's just a mistake. You are going to have to say, I'm sorry, please forgive me. Not only does this create a discipline inside of you, that a willingness to forgive, but it also shows you more about the love of God. And it connects you to people. Because listen, it's one thing for us to be human. It's another thing for us to pretend like we're perfect. It's different. So for you to be able to say, I'm sorry, I blew it, I made a mistake, it lowers the playing field, right? It makes me be able to connect to Sharon more if I can say to her, I'm sorry, I made a mistake, please forgive me. And for likewise, her to feel confident coming to me because we're human and we're going to make mistakes. The second thing is this, and this was a little harder for me. But the second thing is this, that you may have to tell that person that their actions hurt you. And I am non-confrontational, so I am not going to stand up here and pretend like this has been an easy process. But I will tell you that there are certain areas of my life that I have had to go to people and I have had to say, what you said or what you did hurt me. And that is hard, very hard. Some people act like it's easy, like, why'd you say that to me? You know, like, but I've never been able to do things like that before. It really had to be this process with the Lord that he brought me to where I could be able to say, and like Maria was talking about week one, it puts you in a place when you're able to say in a loving, kind manner, what you said hurt me. It takes you out of this place of victimization and gives you power. Because the enemy would use everything he can, like Maria said, to make us feel like we're victims, to make us feel like you deserve that. They're right. It may have hurt, but they're right. So there is a way for you to do this. And I will tell you, I had to do this in my own life. And it was with someone who it was an offense that was lit. I was little. And I grew up having this like, ugh, inside of me. And the enemy used it all the time, twisted it to hurt and to gnarl and to cause self-loathing. And so one day I was married, I was older, but the Lord, I really prayed and I felt like the Lord really wanted me to get over this hurdle in my life. Stop allowing the enemy to use this constantly. And the area that he asked me to, I need you to confront this person. And I was like, no, I forgave him. It's over. I'm not doing that. And I just felt like the Lord, I need you to be willing to do this. And I think sometimes we're afraid of confrontation because ultimately we're afraid of rejection. But what happens when that person has already rejected you? What do you do then? Does it become a matter of, I don't want them to doubly reject me? Right? And I needed to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and be able to say, no, enemy, you're not going to use that over me anymore because it's in my past. So one of the areas that I had to do this was with my father. I did. And I had to say, I know that you may have tried, but it wasn't enough. And it was hurtful. And I needed a dad. And you weren't there. And I needed to be able to say that to him. And it was hard. It was hard. And nothing changed. But the Holy Spirit unlocked this box of filth inside of my life. And I was able to walk in power so that when I saw him on Facebook with his family, I wasn't like angry. I was like, good for him. I hope he's having a good life. It unearthed this nasty, loathing feeling inside of me where the enemy could just use any tool he wanted to get me to placate on an emotion. And guess what? Now I get to say, I'm free. That's not who I am anymore. He doesn't use that anymore. So for you, some of you, it may mean that you have to confront. And I will tell you that what I did was I said this, okay, Lord, this is how I did it. If you want me to confront him, then you have him call me. Right? Because I was sure as heck not picking up a phone calling that guy. Right? I don't know him. So guess what? 2 weeks later, I get a phone call. Hey, I'd like to meet you and your sister for breakfast. And I was like, oh my gosh, why did I pray that prayer? So anyway, it ended up working out fine and God opened it. And like I said, nothing changed. And that was fine because it wasn't for him. It was for me. It was for me. And so now I can tell you that I really do pray for the best for him. I really do. And I really do pray that God would bless him. And there isn't any anger in my heart anymore towards him. I don't want to see anything bad happen to him. But it freed me. And so I want you to be open to that. If the Lord leads you in that way and he says, I need you to really confront that person. Maybe they didn't know. Sometimes people don't know that what they said or what they did that hurt you and that it caused an offense to grow. So be open and be willing to do that. And if you need help, call Maria. Okay, and the last slide says this. My last slide for the day says this. Recognize the dysfunction and stop gravitating towards it. Richie talked about this today in Team Rally. Sometimes when I've carried my box for so long, and when I've held on to it, and it's become part of me, I identify with it, it becomes something, an altar to which I constantly go to. If that's the case, then it's very hard to recognize that as not normal, right? So this is my normal. Being tired and sweaty and worn out from carrying that, that's normal. But what does the Bible say about that? Matthew 11, 28 and 30 says this, "Then Jesus said, 'Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy to bear, and my burden is light.'" And that's what he's saying to us today. We don't have to carry that anymore. We can look at the situation and we can say, this is dysfunctional, and I'm not going to have any part of that anymore. For some of us, that means we have to create healthy boundaries. We have to create a boundary, and we have to say, I'm not going to participate in this conversation anymore. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not walking that way anymore. For some of us, that's what it looks like. But I want to really target on verse 29, because for some of us, we don't know that it's dysfunctional. We don't know. We can't recognize it. So how do we do that? I would submit to you that spending time with the Lord daily is important, because from his word, you're going to see how he responded, how he reacted to certain situations. And we're not going to try and figure it out on our own, because we're not going to reinvent the wheel. The Lord has put all the tools we need and the resources we need in his word. And he provides that for us. So the more that you spend time with him and you seek him daily, he's going to teach you. And the Bible says this in verse 29. It says, let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle. So he's going to lead you in the path that's best for Sharon. It's different than the way that's for Richie. He may speak to Richie differently than he speaks to Sharon. Their callings are different. The anointing is different on their life. So he's going to say to Richie, I need you to walk this way, and to Sharon, this is the way I want you to walk. We may meet here. We may do great things for the kingdom here, but the path is different. So we shouldn't look at a situation and we shouldn't say like, oh, well, the Lord taught them this way, so that's how he's going to teach me. It'll be different. I promise you. I promise. The way that he's going to show you and lead you is going to be humble and gentle. So again, recognizing that condemnation from the enemy and recognizing it as that, so that you can move out of those areas where the enemy would use it. Okay? Band, if you could come up, and we're going to close out with that song that we sang today. And I really want you guys to just press in during this song. I really want you to think about it. And I don't care if you just don't sing and you just let Aaron sing over you, Aaron and Micah, because I really feel like the Lord wants to heal some places inside of us, some areas where we have a box full of junk and we need to lay it down today. And there may be an instance where the Lord says, I need you to do this today to walk out your freedom. And I think he's going to lead you in that way. And that's my question for you. My last question today is, what do I need to do today to begin living in the freedom God has called me to do? Today. Don't wait until tomorrow or next week. Do it today. Even if it's set a reminder on your phone that I need to call so-and-so and set up a lunch. Whatever it is. Then I want you to text me or Richie or Sharon or someone in here who's an accountability for you and tell us how you're going to do that. tell someone. Accountability is key when we're talking about emotional health. Because we can fight this stuff on the inside, but it's when we partner with other people, and like Richie said today, there is power in agreement. And so if I'm praying for Richie to be able to take those steps, then I'm going to check up on Richie. And I'm going to say, hey, how'd it go with that? How did that work out? And that's how we build up the kingdom. And that's how we communicate, that's how we become in communion with each other. So let's stand up together and let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your presence today, God. And I thank you that you are here, Lord. And I just pray for every person in here today, God. I pray for every situation, every life, Lord, and every person that is tired and worn out and weary. God, I pray you would give them the strength to turn to you, God, and give you that junk. Lord, to submit those things to you, Father God, and take on your burden that's light. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, for moving today in such a way, God, that we would not be the same when we leave this building, Lord. And I come against every assignment of the enemy. And I declare that your word, Lord, will go forth in people's life. And that you will break up hollow ground, fallow ground, God. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, for ministering to your people as they leave here today, God. That we will be a community that's changed. And that we affect change in the community because of what you've done inside of us, Lord. And we thank you for that today. In Jesus' name, amen.